Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia, and today is May 24th, 2016, and we're going to talk about breaking your addiction to a narcissist. When you end your relationship with a narcissist or any other toxic individual, there's often an addictive component that needs to be addressed during the recovery process. Most people who come to me for help are struggling with an addiction to the narcissist, coupled with complex PTSD symptoms. It all goes hand in hand. In this episode of Pandora's Box, I would like to delve deeper into this addiction, root it out, and give you some powerful tools for getting beyond the tendency to look out there for your good feelings about yourself. When you're in a relationship where the other person wants and needs a large portion of your attention and energy, you are groomed or programmed to focus on the wants and needs of the other person. If you are codependent, it's natural for you to focus on pleasing the other, meeting the needs of the other, taking care of the other, dealing with the feelings and the emotions of the other, and so on. When the relationship ends, suddenly there is no other. Of course, if that person is still alive, the other still exists, but is no longer in your life in an intimate way. In fact, that person may have abruptly exited your life and moved on quickly, leaving you feeling incomplete and hyper-focused on seeking completion and resolution. The first thing you need to realize when you find yourself in this position is there's an addiction running. An addiction is used to distract us from our current reality and our pain. Either we're uncomfortable with our current circumstances, we're uncomfortable with how we feel inside. Either way, we seek distraction to medicate from the intense feelings of abandonment, loneliness, emptiness, worthlessness, shame, fear, feelings of inadequacy, and so on. Addictions can show up as the dependency on a substance to feel better, or the dependency on a behavior such as gambling, sex, pornography, relationships, work, exercise, or something else. When we feel lonely or empty, it's natural to migrate towards connection with others to fill that emptiness. If we feel rejected or invalidated, we may seek someone out there who will bring to us the experience of being loved and accepted, even if that experience is temporary. The one thing we can be sure of is if we are seeking out there for our good feelings about ourselves, it can't be sustained. It's a temporary fix to a deep inward feeling of being disconnected, of feeling unloved or unworthy. Whether you are hyper-focused on someone you've just broken up with or someone new, the result is the same. Your focus is your medication. It will not bring you lasting peace or happiness. It will only be a temporary distraction from an inner condition that is very uncomfortable. Even a narcissist who goes from one relationship to the next is trying to fill a big black hole within with a focus on the next thing. A narcissist is very addicted to romantic supply. Without that outer supply, he or she would feel completely worthless and empty inside. The narcissist's addiction to supply is used to distract himself from his own shame, his need, his inner emptiness, and feelings of inadequacy. If the new boyfriend or girlfriend can mirror back to the narcissist how wonderful he is, he can feel temporary relief from those feelings of inadequacy. But those feelings are so strong that more and more supply is needed, and secondary and extra supply is needed for when the primary source of supply is not available. If the primary source of supply is not meeting the needs of the narcissist for attention, approval, positive validation, support, sex, or admiration, to name a few, he may try to replace the primary source with a new source of supply and cast the primary source into a secondary source role And this is why a narcissist often doesn't easily leave or let go of his relationship connections. Any connection is still useful if maintained. I can compare the narcissistic supply to an alcoholic who has a bar filled with different kinds of alcohol. The alcoholic will have his favorite drink, but if that drink is gone or unavailable, there are plenty of other choices that will still feed the addiction. When in a relationship with a narcissist, you are his or her addiction. You are expected to meet the needs of the narcissist, and if you don't, your relationship will fail. Most of us know this intuitively, even if we don't fully grasp it on a conscious level. Many people involved with a narcissist have a feeling they could be easily replaced with someone else because the relationship feels conditional, based on what you can give or do or don't do. And this is a pretty superficial kind of relationship. In our own insecurity and desire to keep the relationship, we may begin to jump through the narcissistic hoops in order to please the narcissist. We may give up pieces of ourselves by jumping through these hoops. We're not in integrity with ourselves. We deny our own needs, wants, and desires. We deny our own feelings. We lose our soul and our life force energy. Since the narcissist feeds off our emotional energy, our life force, our soul essence, when we're depleted and no longer have anything of value, we're discarded for a fresh new energy source. This happens whether you end the relationship or the narcissist ends it. You may end it due to being completely depleted or due to some extremely painful behavior that the narcissist is not taking responsibility for. Or the narcissist may end it because he found fresh supply. The results are pretty much the same for one who must heal and regain her energy and vitality. Either way, the relationship usually ends when you are depleted. Our complex minds will often hyper-focus on the narcissist for our own energy supplies. We have an awareness that we've given ourselves away to the narcissist, so we focus on the narcissist to give us back what we've lost. We also focus on the romantic, idealized part of the narcissist, wanting to have that beautiful part to fill our longing for love and connection, affection, whatever it is that we perceive that we got from that person. And this is still an addictive focus. We're still looking out there for something that can only be filled from within. And the deeper truth is that we are seeking the beautiful part of ourselves, the part that we've given away. Our only path to true healing is to take our focus from out there to in here. And it's easier said than done. In order to be successful, you need to cultivate extreme awareness. And the good news is, once you cultivate this awareness, it will more powerfully guide you in your life through all of your life circumstances. Healing our core shame is the ultimate path back to self. We have our ego self with the small s and our true self with a capital S. It is our ego self that is trapped in our core feelings of shame and inadequacy. You may not even notice how deep these feelings run until some life experience brings it to the surface of your awareness. It is typical in narcissistic relationships that you are shamed on a regular basis. The narcissist, although initially idealizes you, will eventually begin to find fault with you and shame you for failing to live up to his ever-changing expectations or her ever-changing expectations. The narcissist has an idealized partner box he puts you in, and you are expected to mold to that box. Any failure on your part to mold to the perfect source will bring about shaming. Although you may try harder to be the person you believe the narcissist wants, it becomes more and more difficult to please that person, and so you are exposed to greater and greater shaming. Behind the scenes, what is happening is the narcissist is projecting his own shame onto you, and it resonates with your own deep shame, and so you unconsciously take it on. At the end of the relationship, you are catapulted deeply into the experience of shame. Shame is the inner voice that tells you that you are inadequate, flawed, not good enough, not lovable, unworthy, stupid, ugly, and so on. When you go from being idealized to devalued, you're left feeling that all of your value as a human being is gone. This can only happen if you assign the other the power to determine your worth and value. If you give the other the power to make you feel good in the beginning of the relationship, you also assign the other the power to make you feel bad. Although underneath the surface of awareness, the narcissist is projecting his own idealized and devalued self onto you, most people take this on and end up feeling unworthy in the narcissist's eyes. You failed to live up to his or her expectations of you. And if you're living from your own idealized and devalued self, which is shame and ego-based interpretations of who you are, it's much easier to get hooked into how others perceive you. Our healing comes in being able to pull ourselves back and realize that the only perception that we have any control over is our own. We can never control how others perceive us. No matter how hard you try to be perceived as good, as lovable, as perfect, as intelligent, as giving, as beautiful, you have no control over outer perceptions. When you look outside of yourself and try to control those outer perceptions, you base your identity on those outer perceptions. You get caught in the trap of trying to get others to see you the way you want to be seen. In a sense, our addiction to others comes from a desire to control the perception of others. We create our own idealized or perfected self and want others to see us through that lens. When others project their own devalued self onto us, it activates our devalued self, which is the part of us that is so steeped in shame that we feel completely unworthy. When we can retrain ourselves to align with our own perception of self based on our true self, we can release our addictions to others for validation. What does it mean to align with our own perception of self based on our true self? Well, this is a spiritual process, really. We must be aware of an important fact. The fact is that you are born a beautiful, precious, and valuable child of the divine, and your worthiness is inbred. You never have to earn it. The belief you had to earn your right to be worthy is a false belief. It's an illusion. You are naturally worthy. You don't have to do a thing or be a thing in order to be worthy. Core shame comes from absorbing the shame of our parents and others in our early childhood and taking on the expectations of these parents, siblings, peers, and teachers, the ones that they project upon us. It's learned conditioning. And anything that has been learned can be unlearned, but it takes concentrated, focused effort. When we work to release our addiction to the perception of others, we begin to develop the awareness that our happiness is solely dependent on our own ability to perceive ourselves as valuable, worthy, and lovable, even if we have flaws, even if we're not perfect, even if we're sick, even if we're drained, unhappy, or in emotional pain, even if we're overweight, aging, unemployed, or homeless. These things are material circumstances and have no power over the reality of the true self. The true self is the real self. It is the self that is imperfect. It's flawed, it has challenges, but we embrace those challenges and become stronger in the face of them. You can be real only to the degree you embrace all of who you are, not just the parts that you have deemed acceptable or desirable. All parts of you need to be perceived as acceptable, even if not desirable. For example, if you're overweight, you need to learn to accept yourself and love yourself, even though you are overweight, and stop assigning your worth as a human being based on your body image. A narcissist rejects all aspects he or she does not see as being perfect. And this is because he rejects all imperfections in himself. When one rejects all imperfections in the self, they reject all imperfections in others. And this comes in the form of judging others for their failure to show up perfectly in the way one perceives perfection to be. Inevitably, all romantic partners of the narcissist will be devalued in the end. You cannot avoid it. You could have a freckle in the wrong place, according to the narcissist, and his focus will be on how that freckle shouldn't be there. And if it's not one thing, it will be another. One can never achieve any kind of perfection in the eyes of the narcissist because we are, by nature, imperfect. And each one of us has our own unique way of looking at life. We have to learn to realize that the narcissist is projecting his own need to be perceived as perfect onto you. You may even buy into a false belief that the narcissist is somehow perfect. You may believe he or she is perfect for you. But this is all what we call magical thinking. Perfection does not exist. People by nature are flawed. You could never win with someone who expects perfection. Most victims of narcissistic abuse have difficulty with magical thinking. There's a common belief that the new source of supply in the narcissist's life somehow meets his or her needs for perfection. They finally found the perfect man or woman who will fit into that box. And you may feel small and insignificant in comparison to the qualities that you are projecting onto that new source. What we all must remember is that the new source is just another you. He or she is being pursued because of the idealized projections of the narcissist. This means the narcissist has found a new canvas on which to project his idealized self. But the idealized self is not real. It's an illusion. And all illusions will eventually crumble. So sure, the narcissist may get a temporary fix and may feel good for a while as a result of his or her new supply. But this is no different than the heroin addict feeling good after an injection. It's not sustainable. It can't last. Eventually, the addictive quality of the new source will wear off and the devalued self gets projected. Because it takes more and more of the drug, the source, to meet the needs of the narcissist. The narcissist is very needy and has within a black hole that he or she can never really get enough supply to fill. When we first meet the narcissist, it can be very intoxicating because we immediately become the sole focus of the narcissist in his or her need to be fulfilled from the source target. And it can be very romantic and beautiful in the beginning. We feel excited and loved, nurtured, pampered, and cared for. But this, as I said before, is not sustainable. When it goes bad, we often blame ourselves. What did I do to lose the love and admiration of this person? And the deeper truth is the narcissist never knew you. You were just a beautiful canvas in which he or she projected the ideal girlfriend or boyfriend onto. It was not and never could be sustainable. Realizing this will help to set you free. The failure of the relationship was not your fault. You didn't cause it, you couldn't control it, and you can't cure it. These are the three C's of codependency. We learn as a recovered codependent or as recovering codependents that we're not responsible for the actions and the behavior of the addict or the narcissist or other people in general. In our recovery from codependency, we learn to bring our focus back to ourselves. We are the only person we have any control over. We are the only one responsible for our healing. Our own perception of self is the only perception that truly matters. In our recovery from addiction, we must recognize how we are using the narcissist or other people or substances to avoid the pain of how we feel about ourselves deep down. The only way to heal our addiction is to face that which we are attempting to distract ourselves from. If you're in pain, then you need to learn to embrace your pain. If you're reeling in shame, you need to recognize the voice of shame as it speaks to you from within and bring love and acceptance to yourself. Facing our pain is our willingness to sit in our pain or walk right through our pain and listen for what it is telling us. Most people don't want to do this. It's very uncomfortable. It takes a very strong person to face his or her pain. The true self is found in that pain. And if you enter into your pain of feeling unworthy, you learn to embrace the child within and say to that child, "You are worthy. I love you. I accept you. I validate you. You are important to me. You are special to me." It is the inner child that is in pain. Most of us, in our attempt to free ourselves from pain, will dissociate from that inner child. And this is the aspect of you that felt unloved, abandoned, rejected, and worthless as a child. This part of you doesn't automatically upgrade when you become an adult. It remains embedded in the subconscious mind. It stays with you until such a time you can root it out and develop a new relationship with the inner child. Our relationships are not meant to fulfill us and lead us to happily ever after. This is the romantic fantasy most of us have been fed, beginning with our fairy tales in childhood and continuing with the romantic ideals presented to us in the movie industry and the media. The true purpose of our relationships are to heal the fractured aspects of self and bring us closer and closer to wholeness. Those who are not aware of the true purpose of relationships will spend their lives in search of the one. But guess what? There is never one. There are many people who will show you what lies unhealed within you. If you are not able to take responsibility for your own healing and truly embrace the healing opportunity from each relationship, you will continue searching for your wholeness in other people. You will become the relationship hopper, play relationship musical chairs. If you find yourself in one toxic relationship after another, there's an important message to get. You may ask the question, why do I continue to be attracted to toxic partners? The deeper question is, what part of me is still toxic and needing to be healed? Goes back to the saying, it takes two to tango. When we focus on the toxicity of the partner, we're missing the boat. The focus of our healing can never be outside of ourselves. Usually the aspect of self that is still toxic has to do with what John Bradshaw calls toxic shame. Embedded in our toxic shame is a belief that we are unlovable. As long as you have a belief embedded in your subconscious mind that you are unlovable, you are a magnet for partners who will make you feel unloved in the end, even if you feel loved and cherished in the beginning. You may go back out into the world in search of that partner who will love you and cherish you. But if you still have that toxic shame at your core, you will either attract another partner who is not truly capable of loving you and ends up making you feel unloved, or you will attract someone who can love you, but you won't let it in. Either way, you're not going to get what you want. So think about what it is that you really do want. We all want to feel loved. We all want to feel valued. We all want to feel worthy. We all want to feel connected to others. And we all want to feel connected to the divine. The key to getting what we want is to discontinue the search for your soulmate. I know this is going to freak a lot of people out. What do you mean, stop the search for my soulmate? A true soulmate is within you, not outside of you. You need to discontinue your search out there because you've already found your soulmate. You just haven't connected with that part of you yet, not fully. To find your own soulmate is to connect with your own soul, to connect with that part of you that is eternal. You need to connect to your own essence. Your essence goes completely beyond the physical. When you close your eyes and enter a state of meditation, you connect with your essence. At first, you may simply feel all the feelings within you, and most of those feelings may be very uncomfortable. But as you spend time in the silence, connecting with your soul essence, you will begin to sift through all the painful feelings. Love the child who feels such pain. Let her know how worthy, beautiful, and valuable she is. And open your heart to yourself. As you open your heart to yourself, you open to a deeper connection to the divine. And the divine is that which is invisible, that is the life force energy pulsating through all life. The same life force energy which pulsates through all of life also pulsates within you. It's not better or worse than anyone else because it's the same substance. We're all created from the same source substance. We are not our bodies. We are not our emotions, our accomplishments, our looks, our material wealth. We are energy. We are energy. And energy vibrates at different frequencies. The higher your energy vibrates, the better you feel. And the more you align with the highest frequency available, which is the frequency of love, the happier and more at peace you are. We so often project hatred onto the ones who hurt us. And when we do this, we close our hearts to love. And it's not wrong to feel hatred. Sometimes this is a stage we need to pass through. We certainly don't want to get stuck in it. To get stuck in hatred is to get stuck in feeling angry, resentful, and bitter. And you don't want to walk through life carrying these heavy feelings along with you. So it is better to pass through them, to experience them fully, and then release them. In my experience, those who are emerging from a toxic or abusive situation will move through the emotions of anger, resentment, and bitterness, and I encourage the expression of these emotions. Sometimes the passage through these emotions help us to disconnect from our abuser and have strong boundaries. We don't want to invite someone back into our lives we hate. So hatred may serve the process of separating paths with someone who has been abusive and hurtful. As we put distance between ourselves and the object of our addiction, we can slowly work through our feelings and let go of our attachment to that person. When we no longer need anything from that person, we can let go of our anger and resentment towards them. We are often most angry at that person because he or she failed to be what we needed them to be. They have failed to be what we believed them to be. We come to the acceptance that he is what he is, and we make the conscious choice not to dance with that person any further because it's a toxic dance. The second part of letting go is to stop being attached to how that person perceives you. Remember, your perception of who you are is the only perception that matters. Let go of your need to control how others perceive you. Their perception of you has more to do with them than it does with you. In fact, it has everything to do with them. When you first begin to release your addiction to another person, you will go through withdrawals, as any addict does. So be prepared to detox from the toxic withdrawals and go through the pain of that detox. But also remember, you are detoxing. You are in withdrawals, and using the drug will only serve to prolong your recovery. How long the withdrawal lasts depends on the tools you are using to help you gain forward momentum in your recovery. No contact with that person is part of the process. If you are obsessing or constantly thinking about that person, your addiction is still running, whether or not you have any contact with that person. The real enemy is in your own head. You have to learn how to work with this enemy. And hating the enemy on the inside is not helpful. Understanding and embracing it is the only true way to freedom. The true enemy is always within us. Our fight is most often an inner fight. So ask yourself this important question. What do I need from that person I am not getting or have not received? And the next question, how can I give that to myself? Often we have a difficult time letting go of the fantasy person. So ask yourself this question. If the object of my addiction were to magically become my fantasy person, what needs would I be getting filled that I am currently not getting? And the next question, how can I fulfill those needs myself? Although it is typical we are looking for companionship and connection, we're usually most attached to feeling loved, valued, admired, tended to, validated, and wanted. And this is showing us where we have failed to love, value, admire, tend to, want, and validate ourselves. If it is connection you're seeking, then seek it first from the source of divine connection. If you practice meditation for long enough, you'll begin to access states of feeling connected that are as blissful as any connection with the lover, often even more so. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else will be given. That inner divine connection is the most powerful connection you can have. Practice meditation and conscious breathing on a twice daily basis. You might get involved in a 12-step recovery program like Codependents Anonymous or Adult Children of Dysfunctional Families, and this will help you to move forward in your recovery process and connect with other people who are on a conscious healing and recovery path. If you are drinking too much, using drugs or food to medicate, sign up for a 12-step program that addresses your particular variety of addiction. You can attend several types of 12-step meetings for a deeper experience of recovery. You could even sign up for Love Addicts Anonymous. Remember this saying, my recovery is about me. There's nobody else outside of yourself who will bring you what you want, need, and desire in any permanent way. You may meet someone who is capable of loving you, but are you capable of loving you? If not, you won't be capable of letting the love into your heart or capable of trusting it. So although it's natural to want to be connected to others and to feel loved by others, that love begins with you. You've got to find yourself as someone worthy of love. You have to learn to extend to yourself love, compassion, care, and honesty. You have to learn to take really good care of yourself. Taking care of yourself involves not allowing others to abuse you or take advantage of you or overstep your boundaries. Be true to you, love you, trust in you. Withdraw your attention and energy from those who are not healthy for you. Rebuild your life on solid ground, on healthy ground, on a ground that is going to support you on the next level of your healing and awareness. Thank you for listening and have a great day.